Pick Peck Honda for all your automotive needs. Shop and save on over 1,300 of your favorite new Hondas during the Happy Honda Days sales event. Like a new 2019 Honda Accord LX front-wheel drive sedan. Lease for $249 a month. 36 months, 12,000 miles per year, and zero security deposit. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport. Online at patpeckhonda.com. Stock number KA161533, automatic 2099, due at signing, plus tax, tag, and title fee. To qualified buyer, see dealer for details, ends 1-2-20.
A routine is a good thing to have. And sometimes a routine is a good thing to break. Break free. Start your morning at McDonald's with a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, or sausage McGriddles for just $1 each. And add any size soft drink for just $1 more. Because if you don't deserve a morning that's a little easier and a lot tastier, who does? Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Welcome to Bigfoot
and the Bunny.
This is a couple's journey into the mysterious,
the unknown,
and the paranormal. I'm your host, Chris Carr.
And I'm your host, Kristen Johnson.
Together, we are Bigfoot and the Bunny.
Right on. We are Bigfoot and the Bunny. How you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Apparently healthy enough to do the show.
Yes.
Had a little slight health scare, but we moved beyond it. Apparently I'm okay. Google told me I was dead when I looked it up today, this morning.
3 weeks later and you're dead. That's one of my favorite.
My symptoms. I apparently died 3 weeks ago and...
Right, yep. But it's just not funny to make light of this.
It's kind of funny. I don't care. I'm still here.
Worried.
I'd be laughing right. From the grave. But yeah, so.
Dude, don't fucking haunt me. I was good to you, man.
I'm going to haunt you. You think that spirit box is going off now? Things are flying off your fridge? There's all kinds of things, actually, we haven't even touched on that go on in your house on a regular basis.
House is extremely active lately.
We need to talk about, you know, I thought one thing that was interesting was you telling me about the cold hand. Now, I wasn't witness to it, obviously, and I wouldn't have felt it, but tell the audience about the cold hand. That was interesting.
We talked about this before, and Chris and when I feel spirits and when Chris feels things, we get a warm sensation I've never really been like most people say you feel the cold temperature or something. I've never really had
cold
that.
Cold spots.
Right. Cold spots, right. Well, the other night I was doing dishes. It was actually the other day and I felt something put a big hand, very, very cold on my my back. And I felt as if something was right here next to me in my ear. So I turned and I looked at it and I said, personal space, please. I will talk to you when I have time. And it went away. I could feel the energy away from my ear and away from my body and it went away. But for the longest time, I had that cold hand feeling on my back for about a half an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's weird that we'll just like stay with you. And you said you could actually feel like the fingers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could. And that was first for me because I don't remember ever feeling that. But also with my traumatizing story of childhood, I've kind of blocked a lot of things out. So
right.
I don't know if you ever thought about that. But we do. Chris and I were
blocked out paranormal for years.
Chris and I were sitting here one night and I was messaging him.
That's to my frustration.
Right. And I have a ghost with a pitching arm, believe it or not, in my house. And he likes to throw things off the top of my refrigerator. Now, granted, I do have cats, but they do not go on my refrigerator. So I actually can see the refrigerator from where I sat on my couch, and it was a little creeped out. And Chris kept asking me, well, what is it? I'm like, I'm not going in there yet. I don't want to know. So literally was pitched off my refrigerator, and it happened another time as well. Were you here? You were here.
I just saw something actually pitched off your refrigerator. I'm looking at our live stream just to see if it's up and running, but I don't think it's quite up and running, Joe, but it might be on my end. I'm not sure.
You're frozen on my side and I'm frozen, but we can still get through this with the audio, so we're cool.
Right. I do see chat. I just see a couple of web pages up there right now. So sorry, guys, you're missing us freeze and stuff because we're always having ghostly technical difficulties. But yeah, I did see the pill bottle fly off your refrigerator last week, and that was interesting. Yep. No apparent reason.
It's a lot of times when I do dishes, my kitchen is very active and I feel like a hand on my shoulder, and it's nothing negative. I don't feel anything negative, so I'll say like hi dad, or you know, hi pa, or somebody, you know, that in my family, or hello to anybody. You know, I'll speak to you a little later. And I actually do talk to them as I'm doing dishes, you know, and stuff. So
I see you. I don't know if that's Joe talking, but good evening, Joe. Is that UFO Paranormal Radio? I think that's Joe.
That's
Joe. Hey, Joe. Good evening, Joe.
Good evening.
So, yeah, no, your house is like crazy active. And for our listeners that don't know, it's one of the first houses built in Swansea, Massachusetts, which is where King Philip's War actually started officially.
It actually started right here.
Back through the history, literally around the corner, apparently.
Yeah, and, right here. Corner.
Yeah, the structure's still there. And we get a great deal of EVPs and spirit box data there. And there's always activity. That seems to kind of come and go in waves, which is odd, but it happens.
I have someone that's literally trapped. All my children have heard it, freaks them out, except for Jake. But there's a man that's trapped in my entryway coming up to our stairs here. And you can hear him slam the door downstairs, and you can hear him walking up the stairs. Then he walks back down the stairs, and he slams the door again.
Yeah, and it's one of those old buildings where, like, you really hear the footsteps. They're not kind of subtle, like, you know,
it's 16
rooms away or something. Yeah. Right. It has the small, like, old style wooden doors, you know, look like somebody made them in their garage a week ago.
My stairs are hobbit stairs. I have to warn everybody.
Oh, my God. Be careful of stairs. They had the smallest feet, apparently, back then. Their feet were tiny.
My son Jeremy is 6'2", and he literally has to duck in my house because those things are so low.
It was made for your cats, which you have plenty of.
So why they call me the cat lady?
You live on the second floor, and it's a cat stairway to get to the top. But yeah, this weekend we were watching. We watched the new Annabelle Comes Home. Or the latest Annabelle. Thank you, Red Box.
Yes.
Please pay us money for saying that, but that probably won't happen. Anyways, we watched it, and I was surprised.
No,
I was surprised, Kristen. Like, I knew this movie was not, you know, kind of from True Case Files, and was just kind of, you know, exploiting the Annabelle thing, but it was surprisingly good. I thought it was creepy.
I did too. I actually thought it was
scary. I did not expect it to be scary at all. I'm really not a big fan of the Annabelle movies, mainly because I understand why, but it's not the Raggedy Ann doll that is Annabelle. Right. And, they made this doll that no mother would ever buy their child. There's just no chance parents would go into Child World and go, yeah, that's the one I want. Give me that creepy looking thing. You know, it would never happen. And, you know, that part of it's kind of obvious, but at the same time, how scary can you make Raggedy Ann? So I see where they're coming from with it. Right. But, you know, excuse me. I think that I've never been that turned on because of that, you know, glaring difference, I guess. But the movie actually was kind of creepy, you know, and it got us thinking about the Warrens and the Annabelle case. And we thought we'd just, like, you know, talk a little bit about the Warrens because we haven't talked about them much. And, you know, they are, you know, I know sometimes they're considered controversial and, you know, there's a lot of critical people out there. But the truth be told, you know, these are people that were, like, you know, founding the paranormal and, like, bringing it out to the public. And, you know, so much wouldn't exist if it weren't for them. So, you know,
they founded it, the New England Society for Psychic Research in 1952.
That's right. Psychic research, which is interesting.
Right.
Lorraine was a psychic and they didn't call it paranormal. And, yeah, very interesting. Even just how they got their roots and like Ed being a painter, this is something I found out recently. You know, he had been a vet and I think a policeman or a detective or some type, but he left that and he was a painter and he was really good. He went to school for painting. He was an awesome artist. And basically he left that because he was bored with the education behind it and wanted to do his own thing. One of the things that he would paint often were haunted houses and different things. And this was one of the ways that they got gigs, you know, like back in the 50s and 60s. They would send Lorraine to the door because she was nicer and, you know, ask if they would like their house painted, already knowing that there was something going on in the house. And, you know, when they have something like, how many cases do they have behind them? So like 10,000?
Over 10,000.
10,000 cases, which is just amazing. This is how they got into places. This was their kind of walk-in. You know, can I paint your house? Oh, by the way, it seems like there's something going on here. And
anomaly going on in there.
But he was a legit painter at the same time. So it's kind of a cool story, you know. And the Annabelle original story is pretty cool, right?
Yes.
I guess as it is told, in 1970, Deidre Bernard, who was a nursing student, was given a Raggedy Ann doll by her mom to keep in the apartment that she rented with her roommate. And after a little while, they noticed that the doll would move. And it was like subtle things. The doll was kept like on a bed, and the next day the doll might have its arms crossed or its legs crossed, or it may even be seeming to be pointing in some direction, but nobody had touched the doll. And that was peculiar behavior. And then it started to change into different rooms, and they would find the doll in different rooms. And that was a little bit more disturbing, because nobody seemed to own up to why that was. No, there's a fiance involved. I think his name was Cal. And one night the three of them came home, you know, opened the door, and then there's the Annabelle doll like across from the door, sitting in a chair, looking at them with the big black eyes, you know, as they walked in. And Annabelle had been left in the bed, the doll.
Right.
This was
then she started find a parchment paper.
Right. That was the next thing that started to happen. They're finding this.
Yeah, help me.
And parchment paper. And it said, help me and help Cal, who's the fiance, written on it. Yet they owned no parchment paper, right?
Right.
There was none in the apartment. So it became unexplainable, which really freaked them out. And at this point, they started doing things to see if somebody was sneaking in the apartment, moving the doll around, basically having fun with them and being in college. I mean, that's, you know, not a long stretch that somebody might be goofing on them. And they were leaving like things like scotch tape on the door in certain places, moving the floor mat a certain way, you know, so they would know somebody had opened the door. They couldn't debunk it. Yet the doll continued to move and the notes continued to turn up. So that was part of it.
Is that when they call Ed and Lorraine Warren in?
No, not exactly. No. At first, they actually called another medium. And I don't know the name of the medium that they called, but this medium told them that the girl's name was Annabelle Higgins, and that she had lived there before, at a time before they had built this section of town when it was just fields. And she had passed away, and she used to play in the fields, and that when they built the apartment buildings, she started hanging out in the apartment buildings. And because they were young girls, the two nursing students that lived there, she felt a certain bond with them, and they had the doll. So she felt like she had somebody to play with. When the psychic had told them this information, they kind of were like, they felt bad for her. Basically started treating the Annabelle doll like it was this playful girl spirit, and invited in even more problems. And things got a little bit worse. The fiance, Cal, was kind of opposed to this whole idea the entire time. He didn't like it. I don't know if it was that he didn't believe it or he just didn't trust it, considered it a voodoo doll of some kind. Mm-hmm. And then bad things started happening to Cal. So Cal might wake
Thank
up
you for listening.
From a nightmare. That this is one of the stories that he woke up from a nightmare and he had Annabelle over his head, literally with her doll hands choking him.
I'm good.
Right? He wakes up. He sees the big black raggedy head eyes looking at him. And he tries to move her, and she's like a wall, and he can't get her off his chest.
Oh, my God. That's so scary.
Yeah, yeah, and he's like fighting it. Finally, he gets free, and the doll just there. It just did nothing. It was as if nothing had happened. Then a short time later, Cal's in a different room, and he hears a noise in Deidre's bedroom. And he goes to see what it is, and there's no one in there but Annabelle. And he felt attacked, like in some sort of psychic way. And he's like bent over, and he's fighting something, and he can't. The explanation is a little cloudy. I've looked this up a few different places, but basically, he walked away from that with four slashes on his chest and three on his stomach. So now things are looking a little more dark. And although the girls hadn't experienced anything, this, attacking a cow is not going over real well. And they decide to get a priest involved, and they talk to their priest. And their priest went to his superiors, and it was them that actually reached out to Ed and Lorraine Warren, who came in, and what they told them that the story the psychic had gotten was a trick, that the doll was not a little girl, and there had been no Annabelle Higgins playing in the fields before the apartment buildings were built, and it was a demon that would probably kill them all within a week or two, given the acceptance that they had gotten from the psychic to let Annabelle be there and be within the doll. At least that's how he put it to them. So at that point, he took the doll and took it from them. They brought in an exorcist to... They used a lot of exorcists, as you know, Chris, to come to the house and bless it, exorcise it of any evils, and bless it and the residents. And I'm sure that included Cal in that. And that was kind of the end of their story. Now Ed and Lorraine have the doll. They're driving home with the doll in the back seat. And they had car trouble. They didn't crash. That story is later. But there were times where the car kept stalling, and the power steering would go out briefly, with the Annabelle doll in the car while they were trying to drive home. And on the third try, he went into his bag, and being a demonologist, he carried holy water with him at Ed Warren, and he splashed holy water at the doll. And, you know, and apparently after conducting that ritual, they were able to drive home without any problem.
That's unbelievable.
Hmm. I think I get a little bit more on that, but let me see. What's that? Was that a memory? Let me see. I know they had a priest come in. Now, in the movie, they showed them bringing home the doll, and they saw spirits. And I thought it was interesting the way that Lorraine saw spirits. And I think they drove past one of the other stories we're going to talk about later, about Union Cemetery. And yeah, she sees all the spirits in front of Union Cemetery, and they see a spirit in the road. Also kind of plays into that story a little bit, and then the car moved out of control. I mean, the new movie, Annabelle movie, while it might have been kind of brought about through fiction and I don't know, some imagination there, they did kind of take certain parts of it from,
yes,
from these records, which is interesting. One thing I noticed, that the doll was not immediately put in the case as it is in the movie. In fact, he put it on a chair next to his desk, and the Warren started experiencing the same kind of phenomena where the doll started seemingly to teleport around the house.
Want to open up a haunted museum? Thank you, Christopher. No.
Right. It was moving itself around. They had a priest over because they worked with priests and doctors and common people, yeah, right? And
have just a priest come and bless the their haunted museum every week.
Right. When it finally gets into the museum. But at this point, the doll is not in the museum. It's just cool. In the house. It's moving around. And a priest comes over to talk about the investigation. And the priest picks up the doll and he says something. And paraphrasing here, but says something like, you're just a rag doll. You can't hurt anybody. Something to that effect. And he puts the doll back in a chair, wherever it was. And this apparently disturbed Ed, and Ed said, you know, please don't talk to the doll like that. That's not a good idea. And Lorraine, the way the story goes, said, you know, when he's getting ready to go, made a point to say, please drive safely. So the priest leaves, and within an hour or something of him leaving, his car goes out of control, but this time he totals it.
Right,
he lived. He, you know, it was an accident where he could have died. It was a, you know, life and death experience. Totaled the car, and the priest said the last thing he saw was the face of Annabelle, the Raggedy Ann, in his rearview mirror. So there you go.
Yes.
Pretty dark. You know, I can't say I've had that experience. Although I did have an experience with my car with an attachment.
Here we go. As I know, yep, it happened from my house. Uh-huh. Negative attached to itself to Chris, and it, mm-hmm, it drove all the way home with us.
What happened? The check engine light came on. And what happened? The car didn't want to start.
Nope.
And we went through.
We found out later.
And yeah, I removed it.
Yeah.
What happened?
Everything was fine after that. And we also did an EVP
check
session.
Went out. And the car has not had trouble starting since.
No.
So,
It
seemed like a far out topic at the time. I'm like, Chris, I think it's messing with my car. And, you know, Your immediate thing is got to be some dog. Yeah. Okay.
I debunk everything first, you know me.
Right?
It's got to be that.
If you look at the timeline, it's exactly what happened.
You had it in your house. Your son actually saw it as well.
He saw it. Yes, he saw it. We saw the shadow figure with the long legs and walking across the living room when we walked in.
Right.
And I saw a couple of things, and the car was not working well. And I think it was like 2 days. And it really about disturbed me that it bothered him. And I removed it in my way. And I'll be damned if the next day that check engine light was gone and the car started right up. So this idea that entities can affect your vehicle, I can kind of attest to it. You know, in fact, I didn't know the Annabelle legend at the time. I hadn't researched it that thoroughly. So there you go.
Yeah. We've done a lot of banishing lately as well.
Yeah. We've had
done a lot of
to banish.
Clearing and things we've had to.
Yes, learning lots about clearing, residual energies, and active energies, and taking things just basically out of mind. You know, and try not to obsess on certain things because
channel it.
That's right. Well, the way you're psychically inclined and, you know, physically inclined, when I say physically, I mean things like, I should say maybe emotionally inclined, you know, you can open yourself up to all kinds of things.
Right. You got to make sure that you clear yourself first as well, and you protect yourself before you do anything like this. Because if not, you're going to end up with something that you don't want. Exactly. Correct, Christopher?
Exactly. Well, that goes back to anything like Ouija boards, which, you know, gets such a bad rap. And I'm not going to be one of those people.
The idiots go and they...
I can't be.
You know, they play with them and don't understand what they're doing with them. And the next thing you know, they're opening portals and doors to things to come in. And yeah.
You can do that with anything.
Exactly.
Really, it's your mindset. So, you know, 1,000 people can play with a Ouija board, never have a problem. 1,001 person is just the right person to, you know, I don't know, relate enough to the Ouija board to actually open that window. And perhaps invite something, you know, not so friendly. Or maybe they might invite something friendly. I mean, it doesn't have to all be bad. We only hear the bad stories. We don't hear about the guy who said, well, my Ouija board worked, and the next week I got a raise at my job. And
right.
I got the girl I wanted, and I bought a new car. That probably happens too. But it doesn't get as much press. You know, it's always a teenager that's went, oh, you know.
Well, it wasn't just demonic and exorcisms and stuff. In 1965, Ed and Lorraine Warren encountered, it was mostly Ed Warren encountered a ghost of a little girl named Cynthia. And she was looking for her mom. And from that point on, they decided to help anybody who was afflicted with any type of kind of paranormal or supernatural things. So it's not just demonic things. And I like that happened, because a lot of the stuff that I knew, I thought that's what they did. A lot of mostly was exorcisms, but then they opened up everything to be like paranormal investigators as well. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And they also opened up the idea of psychic ability, being the New England Society of Psychic Ability, which I like, because Lorraine was a psychic and supposedly a very, very good one. You know, I'm sure the people debate that topic, but, you know, she did seem to know what was going on.
Right. And,
there was data to back it up, you know, and at least a lot of the instances that we're aware of. I mean, they dealt with 10,000 cases. We can't possibly tell you about each one of them, but they were very busy people.
I know, I was looking for the older cases, as I was telling you earlier, the past couple of days. I couldn't really find any older cases, and I didn't have time to get the book and read it, because I would have loved to have heard a lot more of these cases.
Yeah. One of the things they hint about, and it was kind of interesting from a Conjuring Universe perspective in that last Annabelle, is about some of the movies that might be coming. Because they spend an awful lot of time in the Occult Museum, you know, which for our listeners who don't know, they had a room in their house. It was, they called the Occult Museum, where Annabelle was kept in a glass case with a creepy warning on it, do not open under any circumstances, or something to that effect, along with all sorts of artifacts that they had collected on their various investigations and had removed, haunted objects, you know.
And that girl, the babysitter's friend, goes in and she's like touching things, and I'm screaming at her, don't touch anything. Right. What's wrong with you?
She gets like that. Of course, the first thing she does is touch everything.
Everything. Everything.
But one of the stories they were pushing was the werewolf story.
It was Chuck, they called it. And I couldn't find the name of that.
The South Bend Werewolf, I think, is what the Warrens ended up calling it in one of their books or stories. And it's in the south end of Essex, England, right?
Yes. So the demonic werewolf in London. And Bill Ramsey was considered, he was from England, as a matter of fact, because of Essex, London. He was considered to be the living proof that werewolves really do exist. Bill Ramsey had a childhood event in which he left strange before a powerful rage came over him, and he would smell foul smells, really, really foul smells. And that's when a powerful rage would come over him, and he was able to uproot an entire fence.
Right. Not just the fence post, but the fence itself. He like dug itself. Up a fence like, post.
Threw it.
A key thing you're missing there was that he was 9 years old when he first did this. That's 9 years old, he dug up a fence post, was found chewing on the wire of the fence.
Gnawing up.
Yep. Gnawing, yeah, like a dog or a wolf, right?
Yes. Yep. And then as an adult, he stopped for a little while. And then as an adult, he whipped his face, transforming into what looked like a wolf, and his hands were twisting and contorting into claws, and he went into he was in and out of mental hospitals, but they really couldn't say what was really wrong with them. So Ed and Lorraine Warren heard about the case, and they involved themselves. And when the London police officers reported being attacked by a werewolf, Ed said, and I quote, "This is the first case of lycanthropy that we had ever come across. I interviewed the police officers that were attacked by this man. Now he stands this man, which is Bill Ramsey, stands 5'7" and weighs about 150 pounds. But he would take the police officers who were well over 6 feet, and he would throw them around like they were kindling wood."
All right. He seemed to have superhuman strength.
Now, he also said, Ed said, quote, "Ramsey would ask to be locked up in a jail cell for his own protection and the protection of the public."
Mm-hmm. And I think, and we were talking about this just before the show, we were saying like, well, geez, you know, did American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
One of my favorite freaking horror movies, people.
That's right.
I remember going to see it, and I was quite young, and I saw it when it was in the theaters. Yeah, I'm marking my age here, but... I loved that movie. I loved the makeup effects, and that scene is more or less in the movie. There is a scene where, if I'm not mistaken, he tells his best friend to say, "Lock me up. I don't want to hurt my friends." Maybe I'm wrong on this. I haven't seen it in a few years, but I think he does say that. So,
well, in 1989, the Warrens convinced Bill Ramsey to go to their church in Connecticut and undergo an exorcism. And during the exorcism, he was freaking out and everything, of course, like everybody else does when they're exorcised. And Ramsey's face contorted. But after that, it seemed to go away, and there's been no more instance that since they did that. Now we're getting low on time here. So there's another case called Union Cemetery in Eastern Connecticut. And this has to do with the lady in white, which a couple of shows ago we had done as well.
Yeah, we missed this one for some reason.
Right? Known as one of the most haunted cemeteries in New England and the United States, the Union Cemetery in Eastern Connecticut. Now, yeah, we know one that's right up there with that. But people say that this woman in white walked along Route 59 late at night. Drivers believe that they hit a person. Upon getting out of their cars, no one would be there.
Right.
Witnesses say she wore a long white dress or a wedding gown.
Right. Possibly a long white nightgown or a bonnet. Some of the police have seen her walking along the road, the local police. They've seen her walking through the cemetery or along the edge of the cemetery. And in 1993, there was a firefighter in that town. He was off duty. Thought he hit her. Saw her and hit her. His car was dented. Nobody to be found. And supposedly over the years, like this, those calls have come into the police station somewhat often. Like, I think I hit somebody, and you know, they stop and they're good humans. Don't drive off like a lot of horror movies. there would be nobody, you know. Or like, what's that show? What was that show we were watching on where she hits the guy and it takes off, and then she ends up being the wife's best friend. That show was awesome. I can't think of the name of it, but
remember.
Yeah.
But in 1990, Ed and Lorraine Warren set up cameras in the cemetery. After about 2:40 a.m., they heard a sound of a weeping woman, and a female form began to manifest in front of Ed, several feet away. As Ed went to approach her, she ended up vanishing. So they have that caught on tape. On a
right.
video.
They supposedly have this video, and I don't know if this video has ever been released. I don't think so. I hunted around for it, but they have pictures and video, supposedly, of this woman in white. And again, you know, I'm surprised it didn't come up on our Woman in White episode, but it's a very interesting story, and she's been seen by literally hundreds of people. It's pretty common, maybe even more common than the red-headed hitchhiker of Rehoboth.
That's what I was trying to say in Rehoboth over here.
Right. But they're out there, these kind of ghosts.
Now, we were talking about the haunting in Connecticut. Is that the Enfield haunting, Chris? With the
No, Enfield is in England. That's what we were trying to figure out.
That's the Snedeker family.
But before we go there, because we only got a couple of minutes left, we're actually ignoring the biggest and most famous case. And where I think we should probably dedicate a show to, because I'm not going to get it done in the next 3 minutes.
The second one Sunday night
I haven't said what it is yet, but the audience probably knows. It's Amityville Horror. Amityville Haunting was, I think, probably their most famous, even with the Conjuring movies, case ever, you know, and to cover it in 2 minutes. It's going to be difficult to do it thoroughly. However, I will note that there are 16 movies based off the Amityville Horror. And you can't quite say that yet for the Conjuring universe. 16. You know, not that they are of the quality of, say, the Conjuring.
But it
exists. November 13th, 1974, Ronald DeFeo ran into a local bar called Harry's, screaming that his parents had been shot and killed. Police would find the bodies of his mother, his father, and 4 of the 5 children, all face down in their beds, shot in the back of the head, which is mind-blowing in and of itself, if you give that a little bit of thought, because why did no one run? Why did nobody react? Why didn't at least one of those kids run the hell out of that house? You know, be in some other position.
Locked. He couldn't unlock it.
The gun he used was apparently a very loud gun. It wasn't like they didn't hear it in the other rooms. So it's kind of one of the mysteries behind it. They were all shot the same way. He was convicted and he was given 6 lifetime sentences. And 13 months later, on December 18th of the next year, the Lutz family moved in, George and Kathleen, their daughter, and they bought that Dutch colonial for $80,000. And they left exactly 28 days later, which also contradicts a lot of the criticism that have been given to the Lutz family, saying they did it for the money, they did it for this, for that. They didn't really get any money. They left their possessions. It's been said they left they had a gun collection of their own. They left coin collections. They sold it. They got the hell out of there. They went in a little bit poor, you know, like they were just able to make that. It was, you know, a lucky break because of the murder the year before. They were able to buy the property for what they bought it for. But a lot of the things that were portrayed in that first movie were things that were documented, like the priest going, blessing the house, coming in to bless the house and going into, I think it was two of the DeFeo brothers, the children's rooms and being told, hearing, get out, you know, which is memed a lot and whatnot. Apparently that happened. They had the problem with the flies. They had a lot of issues. In fact, I want to spend more time in a future episode on Amityville. I have a certain friend, a sorcerer's friend, who thinks they may know who the demon was that may have been, you know, possessing DeFeo. Not that that was ever proven that it was possessed by demons, and it's a tough case to prove in court, but it has been tried that way several times, which is an interesting topic in and of itself. But we have reached our mark. We only got 5 minutes left. I wanted to tell the people, in a couple of weeks, we've got Amy Major coming on the show on December 3rd. And I'm real pumped about that. I'm super psyched. We got to meet her last week at the fair where you got your necklace rewrapped.
I did. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Quartz looks beautiful. And that was Wanda. And what was Wanda's company?
Wanda, it's Wire Wrapping Gemstone Creations. She's so amazing. And she mesmerized me. And it was unbelievable. The work that she does is crazy. It's gorgeous.
It's super articulate. And we're huge fans of Amy's books. And Amy is like a professional person who crosses spirits over. And we, of course, if you've been following the Bigfoot and the Bunny shows, you know we've been dealing with a child spirit named Toby in a certain undisclosed, well, slightly undisclosed if it's in a podcast that we put out under Dark Horse Podcast location. And very, very slightly. And we want to get Toby out of there. And it's kind of a very sad story, really. If you want to go back, look for the Toby episode, because that one is pretty damn good, in my opinion. Yeah, and we're hoping she's a pro. She can help us out and give some good advice in doing so, because we're getting ready to do that or take our first crack at it, going from investigator to crossing over spirits.
So making a new toy.
We've got this. Yeah, we do, and we're at 9:57. So,
all right. Thank you again.
Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Pick Peck Honda for all your automotive needs. Shop and save on over 1,300 of your favorite new Hondas during the Happy Honda Days sales event. Like a new 2019 Honda Accord LX front-wheel drive sedan. Lease for $249 a month. 36 months, 12,000 miles per year, and zero security deposit. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport. Online at patpeckhonda.com. Stock number KA161533, automatic 2099, due at signing, plus tax, tag, and title fee. To qualified buyer, see dealer for details, ends 1-2-20. Pick Peck Honda for all your automotive needs. Shop and save on over 1,300 of your favorite new Hondas during the Happy Honda Days sales event. Like a new 2019 Honda Accord LX front-wheel drive sedan. Lease for $249 a month. 36 months, 12,000 miles per year, and zero security deposit. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport. Online at patpeckhonda.com. Stock number KA161533, automatic 2099, due at signing, plus tax, tag, and title fee. To qualified buyer, see dealer for details, ends 1-2-20.